Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412.
Something that was never mine. I'd catch a love like there was none to spare. I've heard the call and seen the need, but I've been lost in apathy. When did I get too comfortable to care? The world is crying out, so hungry for a change. Take my
invest and plant in good ground, you're going to get a good harvest. God is all about increase. He told Abraham, he said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, and I'm going to bless you, and as far as you can look, it's going to be yours. He says, then I'm going to bless those who bless you. In other words, the ones who blessed Abraham, who was the wealthiest man on the planet at the time, I'm going to give them even more because they're blessing you. God is all about increase, all about increase. And of his of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. God is a God of increase. You see, when you sow into good soil, it's going to produce, and the return is going to be great. I don't go to my financial advisor and say, look, I want to make some investments. And say, I want to see the last 10 years... the ones that are about ready to go bankrupt. That's where I'm going to put my money. No, that would be stupid, wouldn't it? I look for the ones that are making profit and continuing to make a profit. That's where I'm going to invest in. And that's the same way it is in the kingdom of God. And that's what God expects. That's why he took the one talent away from the one who didn't do anything with it and gave it to the one who had five and doubled his. He had 10 talents. He took the one and gave it to the 10. See? Because God wants increase. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how we're investing. And investing in people, you don't get no better than that. Go with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting home." Now, remember last week we talked about We read out of this chapter in verse 10 and 11. It talks about, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So what he's saying there, and he's talking about money. That's his whole, that's what he's talking about. So he says, he who is unfaithful in the least is also unfaithful in much, right? So the idea is, money is the least. In other words, God has established principles that we tithe and we get. That's the least thing of the things of the faith. You see that? Remember I told you if I go to the gym and I work out and I can press 10 pounds, but I go there and I'm going to say, I'm gonna bench 200 pounds, but I can only do 10. But I go there, I'm going to do 200 today. It's not going to happen, right? But if I over time, if I can do the 10 and I work my way up, then I'll get to the 200. Well, that's the way it is in the kingdom. You see that? That's what he's saying about money. In other words, if you can't believe me in this area, how are you going to believe me for something for your family? For your children to be saved? For your soul to be saved? How are you going to believe me for a healing? That's what he's saying here. And when we understand this, folks, it begins to change things. Because, folks, because money is always clamoring for your heart. It's always clamoring for your heart. It's not about the money. There is no money in heaven. But your money is one thing that is tangible that God can change into eternal. The money you invest in people to come to Christ, the families are restored, people, children are coming to Christ, all that is eternal. And when you invest in that, you get eternal dividends. Am I making sense? So that's the idea. And that's what we got to understand, how we are investing. Now look, this steward, all right, in Luke 16, it says, and you know what? We are all stewards. And the word steward means to manage another's affairs and finances. So in other words, I'm managing someone else's affairs and finances. You see that? That's what a steward is. And everything we have, it's really not ours. It's all God's anyways. Naked you came in, naked you go out, right? It's a good thing we're not naked now, right? That'd be a picture, wouldn't it? But the idea is we hold on too much to things and material things. And the idea is we got to get change the way we think in the kingdom. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent means change your mind towards this kingdom. It's not what you think it is. It's what I say it is. That's what God says it is. See? And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to think His way and do things His way. And when we do, now we're advancing the kingdom. We're in the kingdom. See? Kingdom's now. It's here now. The kingdom is where He rules. And that's our vision, is to advance that kingdom in Sydney, right? That's the idea. Now watch this. So he was a steward and he was mismanaging the guy's money. And he was being accused of wasting his goods. Verse 2, so he said, he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. You see, he didn't even try to defend himself. He didn't try to say, you got the wrong person. He was guilty. He was guilty of stealing. You see this? He was guilty. Now look. For my master has taken away the stewardship away from me, and I cannot dig. I cannot dig, and I am ashamed to beg. So he says, he's going to take my job away from me for mismanaging this money. I cannot dig. It wasn't that he could not dig. He didn't want to work. He'd had this cush job for all these years, and now he's going to have, he says, I can't dig. Digging was hard work. Digging was a trade back then, to dig. So he says, I can't dig. Now, he didn't want to work. You ever get around people who don't want to work? People always playing the lottery, they don't want to work. That right there, you know what? People who play the lottery, it's the most are on poverty level. If you'll spend your money on a lottery ticket, you don't know how to handle money. You're wasting money. God isn't in the lottery. He's not in the lottery. 80 to 90% of the people who play the lottery are in poverty. I don't even know how to play the lottery. I go to the gas station, and sometimes when I have to go in and pay, you know, when the thing's not working out there to put your thing in, then you got to go in and wait in line, and somebody's buying all this lottery stuff. You're thinking, man, come on with it. You know, you got to go. You got to be. And this person, I want this number and this ticket, and they got all these tickets, and, you know, come on. You understand what I'm saying? You ever been in that? And, you know, some people spend their whole paychecks doing that because they don't want to work. What it says in 2 Thessalonians, he don't work, don't what? Don't eat. Then he says, I am ashamed to beg. He should have been ashamed to steal. Right? He should have been ashamed to steal from the company. So now look. And he says, verse 4, he called all the master's debtors. He called them, and then he's come up with this idea. So he called every one of his master's debtors and said to him, how much do you owe? And then 100 measures, the other one, and he says, just pay 50. I'm going to cut you a break. Just pay 50. Then he says, you owe 100, all you have to pay is 80. He starts cutting their bill so they don't have to pay back all that they owed. But he's scheming, see, because he knows he hasn't lost his job yet. So when he loses his job, he's not going to have any place to live. So now when he loses his job, he's going to call up these folks and say, hey, remember, I cut your bill for you. Now I need a place to stay. You see, he was working the system, wasn't he? That's really what was going on. But now look at this. So the master, verse 8, so the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. You know what? You know why he commended him? Not because he did wrong and not because he was taken, but because he was thinking about how he was investing and how he was going to invest in his future. You see that? In his future. Now, verse 9, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. You know what that's talking about? Going to heaven. That's what that's talking about. Now look what he says. That when you fail, that word fail is also translated die, when you die. In other words, when you die, they're going to welcome you in. You know what this is saying? This is saying the people you've invested in are going to welcome you when you show up in heaven. You see that? You remember that song, thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a light that was changed. Turn that radio off back there, will you? Oh. You remember that song? That's what that's talking about. That's talking about thanking someone for really serving the Lord. You see, what you invest in with your money, spiritually, people coming to Christ, people's lives being changed, that has eternal value. We got to get our minds off of the momentary, and I'm going to get me a bigger house and have two new cars, and I'm going to have all this. We got to get our minds off of that, because it's temporary. Folks, that right there doesn't... See, too many people think they go to work just for food on the table and to drive a new car and to you know, buy a bigger house or another house. You know, I'm working, I'm going to have more stuff. Well, you see, if you just keep doing that and it's never investing in internal value, your life is empty. It's wasted. You see that? I know people that have lived their entire life and never invested in the kingdom at all and got everything, but really they have nothing. Am I making sense? I got a cousin who just died here a year ago. He was my age. He was 52 then. Multi-millionaire. He had 11 cars, built a big special heated garage to house all of his cars. He had the 1992 Corvette that was went to the 500 and followed him all around, led him around in 1990. He bought that. He had, you know, a car in the 40s, some big Plymouth. I mean, it looked like new. All these cars were like cool. I mean, they, you know, they're nice. It's all right. But he had to have a bunch of them. You know what I'm saying? And then he had several houses in Florida, houses in Colorado, houses in Fairborn, Ohio, because my aunt and uncle left it to him. And when my aunt died, she was the one running this outfit. She had another son from another marriage and said, make sure this other son doesn't get any of this because I'm leaving it all to you. Him. He wouldn't get married. He was worried about his money. He wouldn't really connect with nobody. You see this? He had everything. Everything money could buy. You see what I'm saying? I mean, how big houses in Florida. This was the Gillenwater. I mean, he had everything. I remember I did his mom's funeral, and... You know, I said, you know, I got with him afterwards. I said, you know, where's your soul? Well, I'm not ready to go there yet. You see, his money was getting in the way of everything. He began to drink. He was drunk when he fell out in a bathtub and hit his head on the spigot and had an aneurysm in his head. And he died. He carried a suitcase with $250,000 in it. And he would like to show it to you. He would take, everywhere he went, he'd carry this suitcase in. He'd come to visit. He'd carry an extra suitcase. Oh, I got, you want to see it? Yeah. When he died, nobody knows where that suitcase is. He had some gal that he was shacking up with. And she had gotten all the paperwork. She got everything he had. And they never got married. That money kept him from really enjoying life. Folks, what are we investing in? What are we investing in? That's what we got to understand. Go with me to Matthew 6. First, go with me to Ephesians 4:28 real quick. Let him who stole steal no longer. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who what? You see, folks, listen to me. Let him who steals steal no longer. You know what that's talking about? Somebody who don't want to work. You ever see people, you ever see groups, they're on welfare? Nothing wrong with the welfare system. But there's something wrong when you're on it, and Aunt Betty's on it, and Uncle Joe's on it, and all these different generations are still on the welfare system. When you don't want to work, that's literally stealing. Your job is really so you can help somebody else. That should be your perspective. I'm going to work today because I'm going to get myself in a position so I can actually help somebody else. That's what it's about. That's what he's saying. See, this is a kingdom perspective. I'm telling you, folks, we got to understand this. And when we understand this, it's the least. Then things start to open up for us. You know, all of us could end up on the welfare system. And you know what? It's good for its time. But we don't want to hang out in it, right? You see what I mean? If you're here and you're on it, hey, God's going to bless you if you keep on. Don't, you know, just keep going forward and God's going to put you to work. Hold on a minute. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, money's not in heaven, but you can take it and turn it into something eternal. You see, God is looking at your heart because your heart is, money is always clamoring for your heart. And that's why he always says you can't serve God and money. Because money will always try to take over. And you serving God and giving a tithe and operating in that principle shows God that my heart is yours. I'm trusting you, God. See, God is always looking at the heart. You see, there's this, I remember studying in school, it was psychological egoism. Say that. Psychological egoism. Here's what that is. It means self-interest. Psychological egoism wants to do good and make it appear good, but it's really for me. You see that? It's really for me. In other words, I'm giving to this and I'm doing this because it's making me feel better and it's making me look better. I'm involved in this and we've all tapped into that. But that's not what God is talking about. God is talking about your heart. Abraham Lincoln was on this trail right before he was to be elected. And he was with one of his friends, and they were talking about motives and why they do this and why you do that. And all of a sudden, he heard these pigs squawking. And there was this swamp, and then there was this bridge ahead of him, and he heard these pigs in this swamp. And they were drowning. So he says, stop the wagon. I got to get out and help these pigs. So he goes, and there's a mama pig with her piglets, and the little piglets are down in the swamp trying to, you know, get out. And so Abe Lincoln gets in the swamp, gets Mama Pig out, gets all the piglets out, and helps them get across the bridge to where they'd be safe. And his friend goes, you know, that's just what we were talking about. You just did it. He goes, that Mama Pig, and you know she's happy that, you know, she's all right now and all her piglets because of what you did. He goes, well, I wasn't concerned about the pigs. I just wanted to make sure I slept tonight. It was all about him. That's self-interest. God wants us to obey him because we love him and we love his word. And he will do more. When you put him first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? All these things. All what things? Everything you need to wear, everything you need. He's going to give you more on, you know, then you can handle when you put him first. He'll give you more on an accident than you'll try to get on purpose when you do it his way. Am I making sense? All right. Everybody say psychological egoism. Go home and talk about that at the dinner table today. No. But folks, listen to me. God is always looking at our heart and how we handle our money displays and shows God our heart. Okay, Deuteronomy 8. Go with me there real quick. You know, money right now is the most relative topic around. But then when we start talking about it in church, people want to, you know, this is where we need to talk about it. We need to understand kingdom economics, don't we? Because it's a whole nother way to live. There is no financial crisis in the kingdom of God. You are going to be taken care of, regardless of what the stock market does, right? When you understand what we're talking about. And you know what? It's really not all about just taking care of you, right? That's just the side benefits. You know what true prosperity is? True prosperity is you having enough and more than enough to fulfill the assignment of God on your life. That's true prosperity. It's not about, I'm going to pull up here in a Benz and a, you know, and come out with all the gold jewelry on, you know, and, you know, you're just looking good. You know, it's not about all that. How empty is that? Nothing wrong with having stuff. God doesn't want you to live in a shed and, you know, the roof leaking. He wants you to have things because it makes Him look good, right? He doesn't want you to be poor. That's why He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to what? To the poor. In other words, what's the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel? The good news is you don't have to be poor. That's what He's saying. Here's the good news. You don't have to stay poor. I got something for you, right? The kingdom of God. Now look at this. Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you what?
Power
to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. You see, the kingdom of God is all about covenant. Covenant means I'm in this. I'm committed. Right? Marriage is covenant. You see, that's why He says it's better to not make a vow at all than to make a vow and break it. But Abraham was covenant. He was a part of the covenant. The tithe is in the covenant. The tithe is part of the covenant. So when I'm in the covenant, God has to do what He says He's going to do. Because He can't lie. But look what He says here. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power. He doesn't give you wealth. He gives you power to get wealth. And that word power there means ability. It means favor. And it also means authority. He gives you authority, power, ability, and favor to get wealth. In other words, He'll gift you in such a way and put you in places that money follows ministry. Did you know that? Where there's true ministry going on, money shows up. God will bless you when you do things His way. So, when we obey Him, He does His part. I want you to be thinking about this week. That how I'm handling my finances. You know what? People will tell me, they'll say stuff like, I got laid off, I can't afford to tithe. See, you can't afford not to tithe. That's the time you need to be tithing. Because see, now God can get involved. But He can't get involved. Well, I only make $20 a week. Well, give two. Right? And what you're doing is you're opening the windows of heaven so God can get involved in your life.
Let us be your light. Let us be your home. And let us give it all away. Let us be the change. Let us be your light. Let us be your home. I wanna give it all, so take my heart. Lord, I pray that I can give it all away. Let me give it all away. Cause I long to feel compassion for a world that needs your grace. Take my heart, I wanna give it all away.
You have been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Road Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. and the God of love and peace will be with you.